Beautiful song. Hope you brought your Bible. I'd love for you to read with us this morning. I want to be in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew's Gospel, the 23rd chapter. Give you a second to find the passage of Scripture. I love it when God puts together a place. The Bible tells us that He has a church that the Scripture says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the church ought to be a place where you can go and pray. And we, of course, like to sing, but to be able to sing and to pray, to be able to testify, to be able to do the things without interference of anybody, including the preacher. The preacher is nothing special. The preacher has no claim to fame and own in the church. He don't. He don't run it. He don't rule it. He don't do none of that stuff. There's no special spot in heaven for preachers. You ever read that? Oh, that corner over there is for the preachers. Nope. Because a preacher has just been called of the Lord to deliver His word. And when he gets to the other side, he don't get to go in because he's a preacher. You'll die and go to hell if that's all you got. And I'm thankful that what the Lord puts on all of us is what we can handle. He don't put on us more, just enough. And whenever we're going to go through things that others might push our direction, just remember, God has it under control, the weight you bear. Whenever I was younger, I was around some animals sometimes that would plow. And they'd put a harness on those animals that would plow. And as that harness went on them, it was structured so that they had a little garment right here that everything kind of hooked kind of around to and everything, so that that animal that was plowing was able to bear the burden of the weight that it was going to be able to have to pull. It was here and kind of stretched over the course of that animal. And every one of those clips and straps that you put on and everything had a reason and a purpose. If you left off certain straps or whatever and you began to try to pull that, make that animal pull that plow, it wouldn't work right. It would just kind of get that animal off kilter. But after you hooked up everything and put it in its right perspective and got it adjusted just right, and you made the command for that animal to pull, when that animal would pull, he would bear the weight of that plow. And when he bare the weight of that plow, you think, I don't know how it's going to do it. Because sometimes it would hit some hard ground, roots and stuff. And when it hit that hard ground, that animal would kind of have to kind of bear down. I call it hunker down. But they kind of bear down and put some old shoulder into it, what I'd term it. And that animal would pull that plow. And whenever that plow would be pulling, if it pulled it at the right pace, it just looks like them old modern tractors today. That old ground would turn up and turn under. It didn't matter if you put one animal behind it or multiple. They were all willing to share the weight. Now, the Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew about folks that kind of put things in our way. And I want you to listen as we read just a couple of three verses or four, five, six, however we go. Then spake Jesus, verse 1, to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. Whatever they kind of say, watch what they're saying. That observe and do kind of adds a little bit more. But do not ye after their works. Don't follow that part of about their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that we're able to sing about a home that we're going to, a place prepared. And God, we know that it's provided only by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you it's not by works of righteousness. And I thank you, God, it's by that grace and mercy that we obtain because of what Jesus did. And I pray, God, you just speak to our hearts, and we'll love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Talked about a different group of people that would bind heavy burdens grievous to be borne. Now, if we looked at what I told you about the animals, if everything kind of worked and fit and everything was kind of put together, the animal was kind of built with its muscle structure to handle it. You know, a mule's a mule. Horses can pull and all those type things. Well, we don't see that anymore. Those days are gone. You just don't see. You can't go to the local hardware store and buy your harness. It don't work. So we've kind of missed that part. You go buy a tractor today, you don't say, well, how many row can it do? I don't know if you do or not. I ain't been to tractor buying place in a long time, okay? But I think you look by the size of the motor and the engine and you kind of build it up and you say, well, I think that'll do about 1, 2, 3, 4 row, however many rows they do. But they base it off of what that tractor can pull. Huh. Makes sense, don't it? We ain't talking about tractors or none of that. We're talking about individuals that place burdens that are hard to handle. I don't know about you, but in my life I've faced some burdens in my life that have been self-inflicted, that I put on my own self, that I've volunteered by my actions to get myself in a mess. And sometimes getting myself in a mess, I feel like sometimes I kind of falter under the weight. I look at what the scripture here says and how Jesus said some of those folks will put stuff on you, and they'll put them on you, and they won't lift a finger to handle it themselves, but they'll put it on you. See, sometimes in the church it'd be a whole real easy thing for to say, well, I'm better than you. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? It'd be easy to somebody to say, I'm holier than you. Oh, I know more Bible verses than you. I spend more time in prayer than you. You know, God doesn't measure us by one another. He doesn't measure me by you and you by me. He doesn't measure me as a preacher by another preacher. A deacon as another deacon. What God does, if there's any measuring to be done, God wants us to look toward Him. Never look at one another. Never say, well, you know what? I'm better than so-and-so. When we start to bear burdens, if people put it on us, that's one thing. But the Lord wants us to look at some things that these people were doing that they were just saying and not doing themselves. So the things and the troubles that I get into, yeah, sometimes they're self-inflicted. Sometimes they're all but a mess that I can't get myself out of. They're born, but verses 5 says, but all their works they do to be seen of man. And now, phylacteries is something that was a religious thing put on your arm and had scriptures in there, and you could really make broad, and they could really boast about that. But they put all their works that they be seen of man. I want to go to about three places in the Bible today, and I want you to listen this morning. I want you to really focus with me today on this burden. Not the burden that somebody else does, but the burden that we bear, that I have, that you have. And many of those burdens, I like the scripture that says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I like that. I really do. But I like to be able to know that I can do that in reality. I don't want somebody putting theirs on me. I got enough of my own. I want you to listen as we turn to the book of 1 Samuel. And if you don't mind, if you don't want to just sit there and listen. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and I wanted to read how the Lord looks at something. When we look at people's works, when we look at what people do, what people say, I want you to keep in mind this particular passage right here. In 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verses number 7, verse 6 says this way, and it came to pass when they came, they looked on Eliab. That was Jesse's oldest. But he came and he looked and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, which is a prophet, look not on his countenance. Look not on the outside. Look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Now, back in the Bible days, whenever you give a task a lot of time, you would give it to the eldest of the children. That was kind of a common thing. The oldest boy had a responsibility greater than the rest of the children, let's say. Because I have refused him. The Lord is telling the prophet, I'm sending you down to anoint the next king because I have turned away from Saul. In the Bible, Saul was head and shoulders, that's what it describes it, above everyone else. The people, the children of Israel, they wanted a king. They wanted a king because other countries had kings. They wanted to be like others. Now, God had never led that way before. But yet on this occasion, God granted their request. They wanted it. And God could see ahead. You know, sometimes God could keep us out of trouble if we just let him lead us because he sees ahead. But because we don't see ahead, we sometimes make requests, and here was the request, let's have King Saul. Well, you see how that worked out. It didn't go very well, and after a period of time, after all the disobedience that had happened, God said it's time for a change. And when it come time for the prophet to go anoint the next king, the eldest son was the obvious choice. See the burden of that eldest son, he is used to having responsibility. He's used to doing more than the others. He's used to being able to be told what to do and carried out just like if it was his daddy saying it. You see, sometimes we're good workers in the church. Sometimes we're very good workers in the church. And sometimes we're working in the church and it all of a sudden becomes a work instead of a blessing. You ever come to church where you feel like you're obligated to come to church? You ever feel like, well, I need to go to church because it's Sunday? I want to tell you, it's a good thing to go to church on Sunday. Don't get that wrong. But what I want you to hear, what I want you to grab is you ought to come to church because it's a blessing to go to church. Sometimes you kind of miss that part, don't it? Especially on Sunday mornings that these ladies had to get up early and prepare and fix. Don't expect me to cook. I'm telling you, we'd be starving, okay? But these ladies got up real early and they were going and whatever they had to do to get here. And if you think if they were late to churches, I'd go and say anything. No, they'll poison them pinto beans back there, you know. The truth of it is, we do things Because sometimes we're the eldest expected. But the Samuel, the prophet, comes and visits, and the first boy that he sees, the eldest one, and God says, don't look at him. Don't look at him. We don't look on the countenance. What we're going to look at is something different. You see, when people start putting things on you, all of a sudden church is not a blessing to go to, it's a burden. You hear me? Sometimes I don't want to go to church today because of, and you fill in the blank. I don't want to go because my clothes are not as good as somebody else's. You ever thought that? See, I've been around folks. I'm an old person. I've been around folks when overhauls was a thing. It was a normal thing. And if you go to church today and overhauls, wouldn't somebody look at you? Now, if overhauls is the best you got, my friend, you bring them and you wear them, and I'll be happy. Because it's not the garment that you wear that makes the person. If we begin to put a burden, then we're missing the reason to come to church. I want you to do the best you got. And that's the way they did in the olden days. They might have had a white shirt and it'd be clean and pressed, but they may have had to overhaul the best that they could wear. But you know, when you bring and you do the best you got, you're not adding a burden. Oh, I won't go to church today because I don't have the right clothing. I want you to come to church for the blessing that God will provide if you bring your best to God. And when he looked at them boys, not a one of them met the qualifications that God wanted. Because God was not looking on the outside. God was looking on the inside. And that burden that I sometimes carry, God knows if there's room enough for it. Back in the military days, they'd make us have a backpack. And they'd put stuff in there that we didn't really need. But they made us carry it. And they made us run in boots that were really, really heavy. And they made us carry these steel pots that we call them, a big old heavy helmet and a rifle. And I wasn't going to shoot nobody that day, but we had all these garments on and a ton of weight. And you know what the Army really likes to do? Run. And I said, man, go up to the sergeant and say, listen, if we just get on some short pants and some tennis shoes, we can run a whole lot faster. I didn't say that. You know, I got more sense than that. But you know what? In the military, they teach you to bear the extra weight of that burden. And after you run for so many miles and do so many things at it, you don't think about those things. You just run the race. But it would have been a whole lot easier if I didn't have the burden of that weight. When he went through every one of them boys, every one of them would have made Samuel say, is that the one, Lord? Even though he wasn't saying it out loud, he was saying it internally. Is that the one, Lord? Look at that boy. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. And you know the scriptures, the Bible said he went through every one that was present, and the Lord didn't say a word. Oh, Lord, what am I? Have I done messed up? Ain't that what we do when we are having a burden? Because, friend, the daddy and all them boys, they don't really know what's going on. They don't understand. But when you've got a burden, nobody really understands but God. Nobody knows what you go through but God. Nobody has the hurt of the heart but you and God know. You and God understand. He says, do you have any more children? Well, I got one. Go get him. On the outside, the countenance, he was the run of the family. Them other boys would say, you don't want David. You don't want David. You don't want him. But you see, God could have said the very same thing about me and you. God could have said, look at you. You're not fit to be in my kingdom. You should not have a home in heaven.
You should not enjoy the blessings of the Holy Spirit of God living with you and guiding you and directing you. Friend, I'm glad that God don't look on the outside. I'm glad God looks on the inside. Because, friend, that's exactly what he looked at on the inside. He chose David to be the next king. He chose. He looked at him. He looked on the heart. And when he looked on the heart, that's where it really hit home. That's where it made a difference. In the book of Genesis, you just stay where you're at. I've got it bookmarked. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 37, I want you to listen to a verse, just one verse. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. Guess who he's talking about? That was Joseph. Joseph had a coat of many colors. Once again, one of them young'uns had a whole bunch of brothers. Them brothers, they done heard and they done heard and they done heard. Man, they didn't like Joseph. They got away from daddy. They went off on their own on a little journey doing some things. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of our burden. And we're going to put Joseph in a pit. It didn't matter. And you know what Joseph learned to do? He actually learned it would be all right to be placed into a pit. There's no scripture reference for this. But don't you listen. When God puts us in a pit, I like the part where all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You know what all things means? All things means sometimes you're put in the worst condition you could ever possibly think. A pit. A pit is not one of those things where you got a ladder to climb out. A pit is not one of those things where you want to be in the desert because of other creatures. A pit you can't run and hide from. A pit, you're just there. And you know what? It's not a pit with food and water. It's a pit that you're going to die in. And you never hear of Joseph saying, don't put me in the pit. You know what happened? God taught Joseph how he could actually live in the pit. Well, that didn't last long. A band of other visitors came traveling by, and then one of them said, you know what? Why don't we just sell him to these folks? Sell him as a slave. You know what? Joseph didn't say a word. He was out of the pit. But now he's going to be a slave. What's worse? What's your burden? What do you carry? Sometimes we trade one burden for another burden. Sometimes our problems that we go through we think are heavy, but the next problem is even heavier than that. It would have been easier to die in the pit. But no, he's going to be a slave now. I'm too good to be a slave. You ever been hungry and looking for a job? You'll take anything if you're hungry enough. One of the jobs that I really enjoyed growing up was cleaning out stables, stalls. Really enjoyed that. If you don't know what it is, I'll tell you after church. But you'll do anything if you want to earn money. Joseph was sold into slavery, and it didn't take long before that situation changed, and Joseph was put in prison. Doggone it. A pit, a slave, and put in jail. Tell me, a burden that I carry that nobody knows. You know what? Joseph's daddy thought Joseph was dead. And all the while, Joseph could have called out, Daddy, where are you when I need you? Daddy, where are you when I need you? Joseph seemed like he got no answer. But God provided an answer. Ain't you glad when God looks down and sees the condition you're in? Because when he sees your condition, you won't stay in the pit. You won't stay as a slave. And you won't stay in prison. You may be in there. You may be in there on a physical reason, because there's a lot of folks that's in prison today that's saved. But because of their crime, they're still in prison. But I got news for you. You can be free. You can be free. You can be free through Jesus Christ. What are you carrying? What are you bearing? What are you going through? Book of 1 Peter. I'll hurry, but I want you to listen to this. The book of 1 Peter tells us something that sometimes I kind of get beside myself when I think about what God does. The 5th chapter, and here's what he says. And I want to read a couple of verses. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. Be all subject to one another. Clothe with humility, for God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble the yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now here's that verse that we've already said a couple of times, but I want you to listen to it. Casting all. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what? He knew what Joseph was going through. He knew what Samuel was going through. He knows. Not only does he know, he sees it. You see, like Joseph's daddy couldn't see where Joseph was. But God's different. God knows your situation, and God sees your situation. And it's a whole lot different when you just know of somebody's problems. It's a whole lot different when you see somebody's problems. There's some homeless folks that we travel by going by the new hospital over in Florence, and we're passing down that road, and there's some homeless folks there. Now, if you've ever been around homeless folks, they do a little different way of living. They don't take a shower like me and you would. They don't live in the same conditions like me and you would. But you know, when you just hear about them only, it's a whole lot different when you see it. God doesn't just hear about our problems. God sees our problems. And God doesn't leave us in the problem that we're in. He sees it. He knows it. And when he says he cast all your care, he actually understands. That's a big thing. When God understands something, when he understands it, he is able to what? Bring the burden to the forefront. Because what do me and you do with our problems? We try to forget about them. But sometimes that burden comes to the front. And if that burden comes to the front, and if it's right there in the front, you know what God wants to do? He said, cast all your, can I say it this way? Burden on him. Because he cares for you. You remember what we started reading? Them folks like to put things on you, but yet they won't lift one finger to help. There's a lot of folks that hear about your troubles. You ever been told you've got cancer? You ever been told you've got cancer? If you've ever told you've got cancer and you look around to somebody to say, do you understand? Most folks don't understand when they're told they got cancer. But you know the one that do understand? The one that suffered along with it, or the Lord. Now I don't mind sharing my knee stories. That's a good one. I like to share it. I'll share my heart, sir. I like to share it. I don't want to share that one about cancer because I don't have it. The Lord never rejects us. He takes your story and he cares about it and he understands it. I want you to know something. What you're carrying today God understands it, hears it, sees it. He is willing to find our situation. There is something about the burden that God gives. I want to close with this. Whenever he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, do you know what the Bible tells us? That you're not going to bear it alone. Back to my horse or my mule or anything else that's pulling that plow. It was always good if you had one of them two tandems. I've seen some folks take a whip and whip one of them and not whip the other, and I'm thinking, good Lord, now I couldn't handle that stuff. I couldn't handle the other part, okay? But I'd watch and they'd hit one, and they'd say, well, why'd you hit them? They wasn't pulling their weight. And I'm thinking, how do you know they're not doing it? You know, they're right there in front of you. How do you know? And what it was, when they were used to plowing, they knew the one that was dogging off, I'd call it. And they'd want to kick out of the traces. In other words, kind of veer off. In fact, the man that was doing the plowing had enough experience. He knew exactly what they were going through and the situation. And he would take and do whatever his means was to get them both in line. Is that not what God does with us? He knows when we get out of line. You're here this morning. No one has to know nothing. This is between you and God. But whenever you and God face a burden, face a care, face a concern, think about this and think about this very well. When he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, that care goes enough that he knows your situation. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. 119. The burden that I bear, I will not bear it alone. I ask for help. The cares of this world would weigh me down. Others may not help you, but God can. God can. If you're without God, don't know him in free pardon of sin, he loves you. He'll never forsake you. And if you're missing that out on that blessing right there, he's looking directly at you. May we stand, sing a verse of a song. If you need to come and pray, the altar's just open to you. You come.